Welcome to Tell Me Something Good. Join us every week as we break down trends, share our personal journeys, and explore the world of wellness. It's going to be real, unfiltered, and above all else, we will always give you something good. Round two. Here we go.
What? We didn't need to say that.
I like to be honest.
We should probably put that on the Instagram feed, that little blooper.
So probably.
It's quite amusing.
Yeah, we probably should.
Is your angle messed up again?
No, it's, you know, if we weren't on video, none of this would matter.
That's true.
But we're professionals, so yeah.
You leveled up this season.
Yes.
So what's your something good? I was just commenting on our previous recording that you have notes for today's episode, which is nice, highlights everything.
My something good is TTPD, duh.
Oh, do we really?
Yes. Yep, we're going to do this.
All right, go on.
No, we're not doing a deep dive of the entire Taylor Swift album because we're going to lose probably every single
and
follower,
your co-host
of the podcast, and my co-host. So, but I just love it so much.
Now,
Maddie Healy did her dirty. Wow.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Maddie Healy is like the bad boy that she dated.
Is a bad boy called Maddie?
Yeah, if you saw, he's
that doesn't match.
If you saw him, you'd be like, oh, okay.
Here's my thing with this, and I think I said it to you. Let it go, Taylor. Like, are you that triggered that you're in a happy relationship now? All right, I'll back up.
No, but this is that she didn't write this, like, you know, she wrote this.
Yeah, but it's like, you're in a happy relationship. Just let it go. What I don't like about it, genuinely, is that it's modeling to young women that you should just fester on the bad things instead of, you know, keeping it, dealing with situations, staying quiet, don't air your dirty laundry in public.
See, that's so English.
Yeah, but it's
I mean, so English.
It's not a good way to be, you know? It's the equivalent of someone jumping on a Instagram live or a tiki-toki, and I'm just being facetious there, like, and bitching about all of their exes. It's, you know, it's kind of gross.
But I think, like, it's basically what she was going through at the time. It's pretty much... So this album is for her. Like, she released this for her. She didn't release this for anyone else but herself.
Keep it on iTunes, then.
And it's basically like her diary. So it's what she was going through at the time. And she's a really good writer. She really is.
Here's my thing. I made my album at a time in my life where I had a lot of stuff going on. I'd come out of a certain situation. I didn't talk about any of that stuff. And it was for good reason, because I truly believe that there are some things that should just be kept private. There's no need to, because she has to know what she's now doing, right? Like, she started this back and forth with people, I'm sure, that's going to just keep going along.
I don't know that it'll keep going. I mean, I think it's pretty, everybody knows who she was talking about. Like, I don't even think Maddie Healy has, you know, he's claiming he doesn't listen to it.
I didn't know who he was until you mentioned him.
He's so a pretty big rock star, honestly. Right. I mean, the 1975 is a pretty big band.
Sure. But, a bit old, aren't they?
Yeah. You know, he was born in 1989, like Taylor, so your era, if you will.
3 years younger than me. Maybe those 3 years are all the wisdom you need to mature.
Could be. But no, I love it. I love that she just shares her heart, and I love that she's not censoring herself for anybody, and this is what she wants to put out. I did see a question that said, like, there's no bops on the album. You know, it's all deep in her feelings, and that's okay, because Midnights was basically full of bops, her last album. I think her next one's going to be, like, Happy Travis album. Probably will be full of, like, hits.
Yeah.
And somebody said, though, like, what if, you know, what if her best work is when she's tormented? Like, can she, you know, is she going to be able to create, replicate, like, the success when she's happy? Like, is the art coming out going to be as good when she's happy?
Yeah, I can relate to that. I definitely think when there are certain emotions involved for songwriters, it's easier to tap into that and create art. I definitely believe that. But I feel like you can still do it in a way that's not with these subliminal or not so subliminal, you know, swipes at people.
But that's who she is. I mean, that's who she is.
It's immature, you know? It's kind of like grow up, Taylor, at this point.
But men have done that so many times.
For who?
I mean, think about how many, like, love song. I don't really listen to, like, I don't know. There's no, like, male songwriter that I enjoy as much as Taylor Swift.
Yeah, because we keep it to ourselves, you know?
I don't know.
Stoic.
I'm going to have to find evidence.
And it's not like rap where it's like a bravado beef and all that. Like,
yeah, I mean, I was thinking rap.
The
genre
is built on the rivalries. It's a little different.
Right.
I don't know. You know, certain rap artists I don't like necessarily when they, you know, like when Kanye goes after Taylor and certain things. Like, I don't really like that either.
When what?
When Kanye's gone after to Taylor in a couple of his songs.
Oh yeah, and that's old. That whole thing is old. But yeah.
So I don't like that either. So it's not like I'm holding a double standard. But yeah, I don't know. I don't want to rain on your parade, but.
I don't know. I think she's talking about universal unrequited love, getting, you know, dumped, love bombing. I don't know. I think so many of us have been in that position before. Even happily married women like myself, like you listen to her lyrics and there's certain, you know, some of the writing in this album I think is a little bit cringy, but there's other things she writes that are like, oh my God.
Well, let me ask you this then though, because I haven't listened to it.
Yeah.
So all I know that about it is people like yourself who've listened to it.
Mm-hmm.
Are the songs actually pointed at people, or is it like fangirls, fanboys that are looking too deep into it or looking into it saying, oh, that
no, they're
must
not
be about
looking.
This.
No, they're not looking too deep into it. She's not going to come out and be like, yes, that's exactly, because she's been interviewed about the songs and she does spin it in a general kind of way, but like, there's no question. I mean, especially the Maddie Healy ones, like, she literally says, like, one of the, you know, most famous lines now is like, you know, I scratched your head until you fell asleep like a tattooed golden retriever. And he's like known for having tons of tattoos. Like, there's just a lot she says that is very clearly, there's one or two songs that I think are maybe a mixture of things. Like the title track, not the title track, but Fortnights, which is what opens the album. I think that one actually is actually about like a fictional situation.
Yeah, I would prefer it if it was, it's all one and good, like I said, kind of tapping into the emotions of a situation to write the song. But if you could just change it, and I think there's actually more artistic creativity to that if you're able to tell a story that's not actually yours but base it on something you've been through, I would have more respect and more time for those kind of songs.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's my.
Yeah.
That's my something.
Well,
good.
Let me tell you, my something good is nuts.
Yeah.
All right, and you're gonna understand
spill
why
the tea.
I use that word. I haven't told you the story. I haven't told many people the story. So, my something good is to the men and women who work in the emergency room of hospitals.
Oh, no.
And perhaps there are some bad experiences people have. I got the bill the other day. It was like 11 grand. Insane. Thank you, insurance. Bosh that down, but that's a whole other conversation for how terrible the healthcare industry is for.
Oh
that
yeah.
Kind of stuff. But I woke up a couple of Saturday mornings ago, throbbing pain in my genitals.
No, what?
So I've had a little history of similar pain, but nothing quite like this. So I tried to fix the situation myself and apparently made it much worse.
Oh, God.
To the point I've never experienced pain like this before. I thought I was going to throw up.
Oh,
I was,
God.
Like, dizzy. Went to the emergency room. I'm literally holding onto the desk because I'm like woozy. I self-diagnosed. Someone would have had. It's called testicular torsion.
Okay.
One
oh
of your
God.
Nuts twists around on the cord. So actually, you've got three boys. You might want to be aware of this.
Probably should. I'm surprised I haven't heard of it.
It's from apparently in development. Sometimes the nut doesn't attach to the scrotum wall.
Okay. Okay.
we're gonna keep this PG. Scientific terms here.
Yeah.
So it can be vulnerable to such maneuvers and movements.
Oh, God.
So thankfully, they were able. I mean, I lost count of how many people saw my nuts that day. So, shameless. I have picked up a potential real estate client, though, because one of the doctors was looking for a house.
Oh, my God.
You see this? You got to work with me now. But
Oh my God.
Yeah, so the resident, so I mean, the ultrasound and everything. And let me tell you, you have not lived if you haven't seen your balls on the big screen. I'm telling, I mean, what an experience. I mean, I should be paying double for that. But so the resident, the emergency room doctor is like, the physician says, he's warming in, and we're going to fix it here.
Oh God.
Like, oh my God. And so he comes in, I'm lying down. He says, now listen, this doesn't happen very often. In fact, this hasn't happened at this hospital before. So would you mind if the three residents
No.
I have four doctors standing over me when I got my underwear around my ankles, you know, and I, anyway, so he gives the twist, immediate relief. And then they all start cheering.
Were you like screaming?
No, but I have very, very high pain tolerance. Like even with my tattoos and everything, the tattoo artist is like, you don't want to break or anything? I'm like, no, I'm fine. But they all start cheering because they can see all the blood flowing on the ultrasound.
Oh my God.
But otherwise, straight into the OR, they open you up.
Ew, no.
Sew it to the wall.
Oh my God.
I am going to have surgery.
You are?
Correct this. Otherwise, I'm at the potential of it.
Are you going to do a little snip snip while they're there?
Thinking about it.
Yeah.
But I
mean, while they're in there.
Yeah, but you know, my feeling on that is, I don't know if I'm done.
Okay. So then don't do it. You don't want to have to reverse that shit.
So, the fact, I hate those situations. And
how could you not?
Let's just be real. There's nothing attractive about a man's genitals.
No, you know? There's so really not, actually.
It's very easy to feel self-conscious about it.
We were at the Met Friday, and I had that thought.
The landscaping hasn't been kept up.
Landscapes?
It's the winter. I mean, it's not awful. I never let it get too bad, but you know. So I felt very self-conscious, but at the same time, they were all of the staff.
Trust,
the
nurses, I'm sure, think about what they've seen.
Yeah, I felt so comfortable. And
great.
They really looked after me. So
which hospital?
Morristown.
Okay.
Yep. I love that hospital. You know,
it's a great hospital.
My kids were born there. My niece and nephew were born there. I love that hospital.
Yeah.
But yeah, so shout out to the emergency room folks for holding it down. You know, I got there when it was quite quiet. And then by the time I came back from the ultrasound, you know, getting the wheel, I had to be pushing the wheelchair with my...
You were like in a walker?
And, you know, yeah. And I didn't have any pants on.
Oh my God.
So I just put on the first pair of socks I had with these long tube socks. So I got that walk of shame.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was shout out to those folks because it's a tough job and they were so gracious and they dealt with everybody. I was paying attention to what was going on.
That's so amazing. I'm really glad that ended up okay. So were you perfectly fine after?
Yeah. I mean, I was in a little bit of discomfort for maybe a week.
Okay.
But I'm good. As I've said to many people that I've told the story to, I've had these things dangling around for 37 years and I've never noticed them as much as I've noticed them since then. Like every move, I'm like, I've changed arms. But here's actually the benefit is I've been wanting to move to sleeping on my back for the longest time because I know it's actually the best position to sleep in.
Yeah.
And I think my back hurts from sleeping on my side. And I also think this is the biggest cause of what happened because when I'm on my side, my leg is, you know, putting pressure on, and then I've got some big thighs on me. So I think that's what happened. So I've been sleeping on my back now.
Okay.
So that's the one, you know.
Good. I love
it. Positive things.
Sometimes, sometimes that's what it takes.
Yeah, and if you see me shuffling around, I'm not touching myself. I'm just adjusting the underwear because it does get a little bit close now. And that's what I'm saying. I've never noticed this kind of thing before. Like every, you know. But my problem is with the surgery, I won't be able to run for like 2-3 weeks and I've got the marathon to train for. So
when's the surgery?
I haven't booked it yet. I've got to see the doctor again. The surgeon in like a couple of weeks. I might say, look, if I can manage this, can we
probably just do it sooner? Don't you think you should do it sooner than later? Just get it over with.
I think I made it worse. I think if I turned it the right way, I turned it the wrong way. So if I turned it the right way, now I know which way to turn.
You could do this to yourself.
Yes, if you're wondering, they say it's like opening a book. So that depending on the nut, turn it that way, like opening a book.
Oh my God. Oh my,
but I'm telling you,
crazy story.
I've never like that before. Whew. On that note.
Think about how animals feel when they get them cut off.
Yeah.
Ouch.
I know.
All right, well,
Yeah.
So now that your manhood was called into question.
Let's stroll into the subject.
What's a good segue? A good segue?
Yeah.
I don't know that there is one. So strolling into the next subject, which is walking. Now, I don't know if this is just me and you know how it's called something, but like what you pay attention, you know, all of a sudden something that you pay attention to or learning about, you see it everywhere. Yeah. Like I think it's called like white car phenomenon. So if you're thinking about buying a white car, all of a sudden you see white cars everywhere.
Yeah.
So walking, I've been seeing a lot about how good walking is for you and you should try to be like, you know, walking at least like 12,000 steps a day. I've been seeing a lot about zone 2 cardio.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that.
These aren't all the same, and I'm bringing each of them up because it's kind of like they're related in a little bit. I've also been seeing that like for women in like middle age, it's really not good to constantly be doing like high impact workouts and spiking your cortisol. Mm-hmm. So I pretty much took that as my mandate to never do cardio again. And you know, I'm not feeling too great about it because now I'm playing tennis outside and playing more matches and it is not cute. I am, you know, I'm just getting winded a lot. And before I even read this article that was published in the New York Times last week, I was thinking to myself, like, you know what? I used to love running. I actually used to love cardio. And I was kind of thinking to myself, how can I get back into just a little bit of cardio in a way that's healthy? And I know you have strong feelings about walking. I think one time we were in London, not with the family, but before when I went with just John, I said it like I was walking like 25,000 steps a day, and you were like, yeah, it doesn't count. I think it might. But so I got this idea also because of this article published in the New York Times, and it basically is titled Running Versus Walking, Which is Better for Lasting Health. And the article is not exactly like groundbreaking because where it comes out pretty much is that don't follow extremes. So if you're walking, like obviously if you're not going to run and you're going to walk, you're going to have to do like double the amount to get the benefits of walking. You're going to have to do like double the amount of walking than running. Right. So like running would be a faster way to achieve longevity, better cardiovascular
health. Is that what it says in the article?
Yes.
Yeah, because that's just bullshit.
Well, okay. So like let me talk about what the article says, the pieces I've highlighted, and you can either refute or endorse what they say. How about this? All right. Taking regular walks lowers the risk of many health problems, including anxiety, depression, diabetes, and some cancers. However, once your body becomes accustomed to walking, you might want to pick up the pace. If you can nudge even part of your walk into a run, it offers many of the same physical and mental benefits in far less time. Just how much better is running and how can you turn your walk into a run? So one of walking's benefit is the effect on your fitness. So that means like, how does it improve the efficiency of your heart and lungs, right? So like any workout, that's something to think about. And then also they're saying the second thing to think about is the ultimate positive income, which is, does it help you to live a longer life? And I've seen a lot about walking to help you live a longer life. They also say the gold standard for assessing fitness is VO2 max, a measure of how much oxygen your body uses when you're exercising vigorously. And it's also a strong indicator of lifespan. So I want you to explain, so hold on, put a pin in that because I want you to explain that a little bit because I don't know a lot about VO2 max. And they say like even doing a small amount of activity, like taking slow steps throughout the day, somewhat improves VO2 max compared with staying completely sedentary. Okay. But bigger benefits come when you begin walking faster, which raises your heart and breathing rates. Moderate activity strengthens your heart and creates new mitochondria, which produces fuel for your muscles. So they say, like, how does running compare with walking? It's more efficient, for one thing. Why? It's more than increased speed. Rather than lifting one foot at a time, running involves a series of bounds. This requires more force, energy, and power than walking. For most people starting out, even a slow jog will make your lungs work harder, which makes sense. But then as you get used to it, you have to kind of do more and more, which I think a lot of people don't get. And they also say federal health, this, you'll like this one. Federal health guidelines recommend 150 to 300 minutes per week of moderate to intense aerobic activity. So that's like 30 minutes a day for 5 days to get that, like brisk walking, or half as much for vigorous activity. That might suggest that running is twice as good as walking, but when it comes to the key outcome of longevity, some studies have found running to be even more effective than that. Some studies found that regular 5-minute runs extended subjects' lifespans as much as going for 15-minute walks. Regular 25-minute runs and 105-minute walks each resulted in a 35% lower risk of dying during the following 8 years. So I think the biggest benefit occurs when moving none to a little. But after that, adding at least some vigorous exercise to your routine will increase the benefits. Running is high impact and hard on your connective tissues, which is also why I have moved away from running. So here's my question. What the F should we be doing?
Well, I think there's a few issues I have with this article. I think the one mistake we're all guilty of making is associating walking and running as being the same activity, because it's not. They're two separate activities. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of walking. I walk pretty much every day, at least 25, 30 minutes. I think it's great for you, not just for the physiological stuff, but mentally. I think it's great. Just get fresh air. Get that oxygen in you, get your blood flowing, but it's not the same as running. And I don't know why they're not including cycling, rowing, Stairmaster, any other cardio.
Right. Probably because that's not as fun as not as good of a headline.
Yeah. It's a really void comparison. One of my other issues is the idea that walking can replace or be done in lieu of other activities. Mm-hmm. It's not enough to just walk. And my stance is softening. You know, when I said that to you years ago, I was a bit more on the aggressive. We briefly started talking about it before we recorded. A post by Jordan Syatt, who for the most part I like a lot of what he says. Disagree with some of it, but he was kind of going in on Dr. Gabriel Lyon, who I've talked about on here before, who I'm really, really like her stuff. And she was saying on a podcast that we shouldn't be lowering the standard or lowering the bar for the required amount of exercise to just walking, because it's not enough.
Yeah.
Every bit of research, every study you look into shows us that the best way to improve your health, especially after the age of 30 and 40, is to put on lean muscle. And the only way you're going to do that is by resistance training.
Okay.
So it's irresponsible for any coach or trainer to say, just go and walk 5 days a week to lose weight. Because what you're doing there is treating the symptom of being overweight. Mm-hmm. When you're not treating the cause of this person is metabolically dysfunctional. So therefore we need to treat that. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's my issue with it today's a great example. I walked 20 minutes, 30 minutes this morning, got my sunlight, 6 o'clock in the morning as the sun rose.
Outside.
Mm-hmm. And then I lifted before I came here.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you were walking, did you try to what they say that you should be able to talk, but not be able to sing? Or were you just walking?
I'll probably catch some heat for saying this, but it shouldn't be the activity. Walking should be something you do as like your rest day, just to get the blood flowing,
interesting.
You shouldn't be walking to that pace. And I know that I have people dear to me who love walking and they walk 3-5 miles, but they're also doing weightlifting 3-4 days a week.
Yeah.
They're also doing their other stuff. And the person I'm talking about in general, specifically, she is unable because of asthma to really push herself that hard. So in that case, that's fine. But I think the problem is, and what Dr. Gabriel was saying was, or Gabrielle, I'm probably saying her name wrong, it's not enough, and it's irresponsible for us to say, just go for a walk if you want to lose weight. Start, like, yes, there's a case for let's start there, and maybe I would have someone who literally does nothing. I think the article says it, right? From zero to...
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah, that's fine, but let's not mistake that for just go for a walk.
Yeah.
You know, because you could also, hey, do 10 squats a day. Let's try and do some push-ups against the counter. Just, you know, start getting into the resistance training too. And yeah, running and walking are not the same activity. Running is something that most people shouldn't be doing because they don't have A, the technique, B, the they have muscle imbalances and asymmetries that cause injuries.
Yeah.
So they shouldn't be running anyway. And there are better activities like rowing, like the Stairmaster, like riding a bike.
But not walking.
But walking's only going to get you so far.
Even zone problem. 2 walking.
If you can get to zone 2 by walking, then you're not physically fit. I can't get my heart rate up that high walking.
I only can when I'm on a treadmill and I literally
you can go
put
on
it
the incline.
10
yeah, then
incline.
You're walking uphill, but then it's not. Yeah. Then you're not walking at that point. It's a different activity.
Well, what do you consider that then?
That's almost like hiking when you're going up a hill that high.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the same. Because and
what if you did hill? So like, what if you paired weightlifting with walking up a hill, like doing intervals up a hill?
See that? Yeah. So now, but now we're getting into interval training, high intensity interval training, because yeah, you can really get your heart rate up, especially this hill you're on. I think I told you that years ago, just walk up and down this 5 times. But, and I think the reason I'm being particularly like stern about it is because I think the mistake people are making, and it breaks my heart a lot of times when you hear people who really need help, they think it's okay just to go and walk, like walk around the block.
Right.
That's not your exercise. Right. That should be the bare minimum requirement. That should just be part of your...
It's very good for you.
Yeah, it should be part of your daily routine. It's very good for you. I'm a big fan of it, but don't use it as the replacement for this other stuff you should be doing.
Yeah. So if... For middle age woman going into woman in perimenopause, mm-hmm. you're saying strength training.
Yeah.
But then what should the quote unquote cardio be? Can it be hit like hill repeats walking?
It's very individualized, right? Because you could have a situation with that person I was just talking about where her asthma's going to prevent her being able to actually do activities. Mm-hmm. Now we're able to get her heart rate up when she's strength training, because it, mm-hmm. it doesn't always mean a heavy breathing.
Well, let's assume the lay person who isn't with a trainer, because the only time I could ever get my heart rate up lifting was when I had you as my trainer. I can't do it on my own.
Yeah. It was very individualized. I mean, this person might have bad knees. Maybe they can't walk anyway.
Yeah. Let's assume somebody who can walk. Like, you can use me as a use case, right? Like, so I play tennis and I want to be able to not be completely winded.
Yeah, you should be doing
like 5 minutes.
You should be doing interval training.
Activity. Okay. How often though? Because I also don't want to like tax my system.
How many days a week are you playing tennis?
3 to 4.
I mean, honestly, at that point, I would just say, just push yourself during the matches. Maybe one day a week of like 5 minutes of interval training of really, really going hard.
Okay.
You know, 90%
of your
max.
The thing about tennis is it's like bursts. Right. Yeah. So it'll be nothing, because I play doubles, right? So it's like nothing, and then maybe for like 2 minutes, it's crazy.
Yeah. And you should be lifting too.
I am lifting, but...
What are you lifting? Air? The tennis racket?
I'm lifting, but like, you know, it's very much a half-assed
going for
a
long
job.
And, you're long and lean.
Yeah, long lean muscles.
Yeah, so I mean, for someone like you, that's hard to build in extra cardio, because that's 3 or 4 days of tennis is quite intense. So
right.
I think it would be like finding a 5 minute window on a day that you're not playing and just
go up and
really
down
hard.
Hills maybe.
I think even more intense than that.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
So
I think
like
you'd have
what?
To get, I'd have to get you like 90%.
Like running?
Maybe on a bike. No, I wouldn't have you running with your knees.
Oh, I hate that bike. That
bike,
thing.
Rowing, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, I wouldn't think I would have to go that hard.
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting. So what is VO2? What is VO2 max?
I don't want to get too into it because I don't think it's relevant for...
Is that the right way to say it, VO2?
For the general public. Yeah, VO2 max. It's as the article says, basically just how much oxygen you're able to use and how efficiently you're able to use it.
And you measure cardio. That. There's like a machine, right?
Yeah.
It's that oxygen mask machine I've seen.
Okay. Didn't you do that?
I've never done it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think it's very useful for certain use cases like athletes and stuff. But for the general population, I won't even focus on that.
Really? Okay.
It's very hard not to improve your cardio mm-hmm. by just doing cardio. So I don't think anybody could do the correct, you know, and yes, will you be able to perfect exactly how much you should be doing and the correct intensities? But most good trainers and most people intuitively will know where they are on the scale of perceived exertion, right? So, you know, there are some people that will always overscore and not do, you know, not go as high as they should.
Yeah.
But yeah, I keep coming back to the fact that we shouldn't be putting them in the same basket. Mm-hmm. It should be walking is an activity that everyone should be doing every day.
Mm-hmm.
There's no excuse not to go out. I even try in the mornings, if we have enough time, to take the kids for a walk around mm-hmm. the block before school.
Yeah.
But I know they're going to get plenty of running at the playground and stuff, so I'm not too worried about them. But you know, try and fit it in for me. But everybody should be doing a walk, and that if you have someone starting from zero, I would want them walking every day, 20 minutes, 25 minutes. I'd be very concerned if someone was getting out of breath just walking on a flat street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in that case, I think more intense interventions probably needed.
Mm-hmm,
I've in my 15, 20 years doing, you know, training people, I've come across people who are literally starting from almost a negative.
Hmm.
Walking's never been an issue for them.
Right.
They can get out of their car, they can walk to the gym, and they're not out of breath.
Right.
So.
What about a younger person? So even like, let's say adolescent that's like battling some weight issues. Is walking a good...
Well, and let's also back up too. I think this is a really good point to make, that we have to stop associating being overweight to a lack of exercise, because it's very, very infrequently the fact that someone's not working out that they're overweight. It's the food they're eating and they're metabolically dysfunctional.
Meaning taking too much in and not expending enough
energy?
Not
even that. You know, this is a whole nother topic, and I think we've covered it before. We have to stop thinking about, yes, we can go, you know, calories in, calories out. There's some merit to it, merit to it. But for the majority of people, it's what they're eating, not how much they're eating. And it's causing their body to be metabolically dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about the glyphosate.
Yes.
All of that stuff, the sugar. It's not that they're not exerting that much. Like if James Smith, I disagree with some of the stuff he says, but I find him very entertaining, and I think his heart's in the right place, and he has a lot of very good stuff to say. He shows you on, you know, he uses the weight plates,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, all right, these are all the different things that burn calories.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of the calories you burn are just from existing. The amount you're going to burn from exercise is very, very small.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But the benefits of the exercise is for your heart, for your lungs. That's the cardio. And then having lean muscle, yes, it's going to improve your metabolism, but it's more about strength, supporting your joints, all of that kind of stuff. It helps with bone density.
Mm-hmm.
We have to stop thinking about exercise and weight. That's, you know, that's where we've got to get away from. And, you know, I actually didn't read the article because I wanted to hear what your take on it first was.
Yeah.
I don't know if they go into the cardio benefits versus the calories and that stuff in there.
They don't really.
Okay. Yeah. So... And again, you're not going to improve your cardio by walking.
Right.
It's just, it's...
And when I say cardio, I'm meaning like literally that oxygen rate. Like, I don't like that feeling in my lungs of being out of breath easily. It makes me feel old.
Right.
I don't like it. I mean, I don't think anybody would. It doesn't feel good to not be able to breathe when you're doing something... I mean, I guess some people wouldn't consider it basic, but like, I just, you know, I think when you do things that you used to be able to easily do, without losing breath. And then all of a sudden you are losing breath. Like even walking up the stairs, sometimes I get a little breathless and I'm like, oh my God, like this is not good.
Yeah. And there's also something to it that, if you're not used to an activity, it's going to make you out of breath.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's stairs at my therapist's that, I mean, I said to her, it's like, is this deliberate? People show up out of breath. I'm always out of breath. But I walk up them.
She wants you to be faster.
Yeah. I'm just like, it puts you in like a vulnerable state. Cause you're, but yeah, unless you're doing it all the time, and you might find, I mean, it's what, a few weeks into the season with tennis?
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing inside, but I feel like it's a totally different ball game than outside. Yeah, it is. No pun intended.
And I can speak from personal experience, right? Like,
yeah, just like 2 weeks
into the season. As a kid, I was playing 4 or 5 matches a week in soccer.
Singles? Oh, yeah, soccer. Yeah, that's a lot of running.
You know, now, when I was playing co-ed, there was like 10 games in a season. It would take me like 3 or 4 games to actually get my fitness back up. Right. And that's without doing anything extra during the weeks. So it's just, I wasn't used to it.
It's the same way with Nate. I see when he starts lacrosse and then goes back to his hockey seasons.
Yeah.
And he's just a very active kid.
Yeah. The demands are different.
Yeah.
So therefore it's going to tax you.
Yeah.
But I don't want anyone to misconstrue I'm saying don't walk. You should walk.
Right.
But it's not a replacement for, you know, everybody should be doing something a bit more high intensity.
Yeah.
I think they even reference it in there.
Yeah, they do.
If you can do 5 minutes in a much higher intense zone and get more bang for your buck than doing an hour of steady state running.
That's exactly what they're saying, I think. And also like somebody like me, maybe when John and I are retired and hopefully we're living somewhere beautiful, we'll have time to take like a delightful hour walk before breakfast, hour walk after dinner. But like my lifestyle right now, I don't have time to walk an hour a day. Like I deliberately walk an hour a day. Like I just don't.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would encourage everybody to start fitting in 20 to 30, especially with now we're in the summer, you know, spring, summertime.
Yeah.
It's harder in the winter. I understand that. But you know, take meetings on a walk.
And I have a walking pad downstairs. Yeah. And that actually has been, when I remember that I have it, it's really useful. And I've been trying to encourage my husband to actually get one for under his desk.
I genuinely, like, if I need to have a serious conversation with someone, I like to walk.
So does he. He paces.
And if I'm on the phone, I'm pacing. But if I'm in person, I like to go for a walk. And I think even Steve Jobs, that was one of his favorite things. Like, we're going to go for a walk and talk. Because you're thinking different. You've got your blood flowing. Everything's good. So, yeah, walking is incredibly beneficial. But let's stop putting it in with running. Because they're too... I'm training for the marathon. I'm not walking. I'm not going to go, I'm going to go and walk for 20 miles so I know that I can run 26.
I'm going to walk all day.
Here's a great example. Lance Armstrong, who... won countless, and I know he was doped up, but they all were.
Yeah, I think, and at a base level, like, he definitely was an amazing athlete.
But, you know, won all of these cycling races, but he didn't go and win the marathon. It doesn't translate.
Right.
It doesn't translate. And these are the different activities, different demands on your system.
It's like have you seen those memes when, like, physical trainers will do, or, like a weightlifter will go and do Pilates, and, like...
Yeah.
He can't even get through like the first 2 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So everybody should be walking. You should be trying to do it every day. But then don't make that an excuse to not lift weights 3 times a week. Don't make that an excuse to not push yourself cardio-wise. Get up to those higher ranges.
Yep.
That's where I land.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Good. Well, that was a great chat about that.
Yeah, we really ran through
You're
some
so
things.
So wise.
I learned it all
delightful.
From you.
I feel like my knowledge now is outdated. You have the current tea.
And I don't put it on my ass. I just follow some good people, you know. And listen, all the information's out there. It's just, unfortunately, like, people use the New York Times, and I'm not like throwing this at you, but like people get their information from that instead of the cutting edge.
The headline's very clickbaity, right? Remember the headline, running versus walking, which is better for lasting health? Like you better believe I clicked on that pretty damn
and
fast.
We shouldn't even be asking that question. It should be, everyone should walk, and then what's the best for you to work in the higher ranges?
It's almost like what's better for lasting health? Like both.
Yeah. And actually what's the best? Weightlifting.
Yeah.
for your actual overall health.
Yes.
But they didn't want to put that in there because that's not sexy.
It's not cute. Yeah. Nope.
All right. And that's another one. Another one in the can.
Another one in the can.
Yeah, let's see how well this goes.
I'm going to tell you something when we log off that you're not going to like.
Oh, God.
Yep.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
My video stopped like 5 minutes in.
Oh, no.